Thank you, Will, for that leading of those songs. I tell you, that last one, that is one of my favorites. I love it when we sing that song. We think about spending eternity with God. I hope that's one of the songs that we sing. To be able to spend an eternity in heaven with God, singing praises to His name. What a wonderful thing it will be. Something that we should all be hoping and striving for. We're glad you're here with us this evening. We have visitors with us. We're certainly thankful for your presence. My parents and nieces are here, and they don't get to come very often, but I'm glad that they're here tonight. Thankful for their presence, and thankful for everyone's presence. Thank you, Brad, for the prayer. And thank you, Little Will, for the prayer he led down here in the little kids' class. I think that's the first time he's done that. He did a good job. It takes a lot of courage to get up in front of everybody and lead a prayer. So he did a great job, and we're proud of him for doing that. I also want to remind everyone that we'll be having the singing class after services this evening. Start about 10 minutes after services and go for about 25 minutes here in the adult class to my right. I wonder if we went around the room, how many of us would have some adversity that we're going through, some struggle in our life. Probably most, if not all of us, would have something that we're dealing with. Something that we're dealing with now, or something that we've dealt with in the past. Maybe something pretty major. Maybe you lost your job, put you in a financial bind, and you didn't know what you were going to do. Maybe you have health issues, something serious. Maybe a member of your family does. Something serious that even the doctors don't know that they can cure it. Maybe someone in your family or someone close to you has fallen away. It's a member of the church, but they aren't doing the things that they should to be pleasing to God. All of us deal with adversity. All of us deal with things that we don't know sometimes how we're going to accomplish those things, how we're going to overcome those things. Sometimes the people around us tell us it's impossible. They say, you can't do it. You can't overcome. That's the situation that Joshua faced. We remember the story of Joshua. He starts off as an assistant to Moses. That's what he's referred to several times throughout Exodus and Numbers. Moses' assistant. We remember him as one of the spies that Moses sends out to the land of promise. He and Caleb are the only two that come back and say, yes, we can take it. With the Lord's help, we can do it. Children of Israel spend the years wandering in the wilderness. Joshua is there. And all of the people Joshua's age and older die. And then it's time to enter the promised land. And Moses dies. And God comes and talks to Joshua. And he gives him some keys for success. Keys to make his job that he is now getting successful. I'd like for us to think about three of these keys tonight. Found in Joshua chapter 1. Verses 1 through 9. I would encourage you to follow along with me as we study. I'll be reading from the New King James Version this evening. Beginning there in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites into the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Continuing there in verse 6, he says, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua had a great project in front of him. He had been the assistant to Moses. He had seen Moses lead the people. But he had seen the people turn away. He had seen the children of Israel waver in their obedience to God. And now he was being told, you will lead. You will lead them to the land that I have promised. If you underline in your Bible, you might start in verse 6. There God, one of three times, tells Joshua to be strong and of good courage. Be strong and courageous in the things that you're about to do. You're going to need it. The people that you are leading are going to need it. They're going to need to look to you. They're going to need to see you being strong and being courageous in the things that we're doing. The same is true for us. Paul, when he writes his second letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 there, he says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Paul, talking to this young preacher, he says, God didn't give us a spirit of fear. God gave us a spirit of power. Power that we have. Power that is God-given. Power that is of God. It's through Him. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 there, Paul writes to the Romans and he tells them of that power. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. That's the power that Paul is talking to Timothy about. He tells Timothy, you be strong. You be courageous. Because we have something that has been given to us that is more powerful than anything. And we have that as well. We too can obtain that power. We too can benefit from that power. We too can receive that salvation that God has promised. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verses 13 and 14 there, Paul tells the Corinthians, he says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, let all that you do be done with love. He says, let all that you do be done with love, and he's talking about an attitude, the way that we treat each other, the way that we work together. He says, let all the things that you do be done with love. But look where it starts. He says, stand fast in the faith. All the things that we're doing are done with love, but they start with the faith that we have. Faith in that power of God. Faith in that salvation that we've been promised. It's the same thing that he was telling the Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. He says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Standing fast in the faith, together. You know, we always hear that phrase when we're little. There's no I in team. We can accomplish more as a team. And that is never more true than when it comes to being a Christian. You know, it's a lot easier to stand strong and to be courageous when the people that are around us are standing strong in the same faith. When the people that we surround ourselves with have the same faith that we do, have the same faith and the same power of God that we do. God tells Joshua to be strong and to be of good courage. We should as well. You go back to Joshua chapter 1. Verse 8 there, he says, only be strong and be very courageous. This is verse 7. He says, that you may observe to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. You shall meditate in it day and night. You think about all of the things that Joshua had been taught. Think about working alongside of Moses and all the adversity that they had faced. As the children of Israel came out of Egypt. And all the adversity that they faced over the next 40 years in the wilderness. Think about all that Joshua had learned from Moses. God tells him, remember the things that I have commanded Moses that he has in turn commanded to you. He says, remember the law. Meditate on those things day and night. Keep those things in your mind. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Think about, what is it to meditate? When we think about that word, we might think about someone sitting on a yoga mat. Sitting Indian style with their hands out like this, humming something or something like that. God's not telling us to pull out our yoga mats. But when someone does that, they're putting everything out of their mind. They're focusing on something. And that is what God wants us to do. God wants us focused. He wants us focused on our objective. He wants us to put all the things of the world out of our minds. You know, many times on Sunday morning as the men stand at the table, sometimes one might pray, you know, help us put the cares of this world out of our minds. I can't think of a more important time for us to do that than when we're partaking of the Lord's Supper. But God wants us to do that all the time. God wants us focused on His Word all the time, day and night. God wants us to put the cares of this world away from us and to focus on His Word. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." God wants us focusing on His Word. He wants us meditating on His Word because of the power that it has. Because of the things that it teaches us. Because of the salvation that we can have because of it. The psalmist in the 119th Psalm, verses 147 and 148, he says, "I rise up before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in Your Word. My eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on Your Word." You ever had anything keep you up at night? You ever had something on your mind and you were just so focused on it that you laid there in bed and you couldn't go to sleep? That's what the psalmist says God's Word does to him. He says, "I'm up during the night. I'm awake through the night watches. Because I'm meditating on Your Word. When I wake up in the morning, it's there. When I lay down at night, it's there." That's focus. That's meditation. That's being serious about God's Word and understanding the power that it has. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another." We usually continue that verse there in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. But look at the first part there. He says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Let it be ingrained in you. The people around you will see it. We can teach it to others. We go back to Joshua. Verse 9 there, or verse 8, he says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it." I want you to meditate on the Word. I want you to meditate on all the things that you've been taught. And then I want you to be obedient to them. Because you're going to go out from here. Joshua is preparing to go to battle. Numerous battles. God says, I want you to be prepared. I want you to be ready. For when you face that adversity, you're ready to overcome. You're obedient to me. You're obedient to my word, to the commands that have been given to you by me and by Moses. It's the same thing that Jesus tells the apostles. When he's sending them out, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. He says, go out and teach. Teach them to observe all the things. Teach them to be obedient. Teach them about the power. James chapter 1, verse 25 says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. That's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be a doer. He wants us to be strong and be courageous. He wants us to meditate on His Word. He wants us to be focused on His Word. And He wants us to be a doer of that Word. He wants us to be obedient. He wants us to look into the Word and be obedient to it. To understand that the power is there. To understand that the power of God is to salvation. And that we can receive it if we are obedient. Joshua, at the end of his life, stood before the people of Israel, stood before the children of Israel. And he basically told them, you have a choice. And we all do. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, he says, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua says, you have a choice. You can serve who you want to. But for me, but for my house, we're going to serve God. We're going to be obedient to Him. So how would we do? How would we do if someone was grading us? How did Joshua do? Well, we're told. Joshua chapter 11, verse 15 says, as the Lord had commanded Moses his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua. And so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. He left nothing undone. Joshua took the things that God told him and he was obedient. All of the things that God had commanded to Moses and Moses had commanded to Joshua, he was obedient. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 there says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can have victory if we're faithful to God. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to be courageous when we face adversity. He wants us to meditate on His Word. He wants us to be obedient to it. And there's reason for that. Because of the victory that we can gain. The salvation that has been promised to us. Verse 58 there. He goes on and says, "My beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Our labor is not in vain. God has given us instructions. If we're obedient to those instructions, we can gain victory. We can gain salvation. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you wish to enter the waters of baptism for the forgiveness of your sins, we would invite you to come. If you're here and you are a Christian, you have some public sin in your life that you need to make correction of. If there's any way that we can assist you, we would invite you to come while together we stand.